when the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Really, Sundays wouldn't be Sundays without our own personal date with Gordon Goldsborough, who joins me now in the studio for this week's edition of Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now remind us of that very mystical, cryptic clue from last week.
Well, I said it was an aspect of grain elevators that people wouldn't necessarily remember, that they had an association with bad girls and boys. And did you get the hint?
Lump of coal?
Absolutely. Of course, if you were bad, you would get a lump of coal as a holiday gift. That was it. And there's the connection that grain elevators, although people tend to think of them as places where they bought and sold grain, well, they also sold other things as well. And they actually quite often would sell coal, too.
Why was coal used in particular?
Well, you know, any fuel, you use what you have available. And coal was plentiful here in Western Canada. You know, when we go back to the fur trade era, well, of course, what would we use as fuel? Well, wood, because there's trees all over the place. Out on the open prairie, they actually used dried bison dung because, of course, there were herds of bison, lots of them, lots of dung as a result. And when it's dry, it burns quite nicely.
Very resourceful.
Absolutely. But when you get into, say, Saskatchewan, and particularly in Alberta, back in as early as the 1700s, they were finding deposits of coal. And so when the railway was built across the prairie and you needed something to fuel those locomotives, well, coal was the logical thing. So coal became the standard source of fuel for the open prairies all across Western Canada.
Where was coal obtained here in Manitoba?
Well, you'd think logically it would be Saskatchewan and Alberta, and that's probably where most of our coal came from. But a little known fact is that actually there was a local coal supply as well back in the late 1900s. Again, in the early 20th century, there was actually quite active coal mining in the area of Turtle Mountain, sort of in southwestern Manitoba. The problem was that it was a fairly low grade of coal called lignite or brown coal. That meant it didn't have a very high energy content. It didn't produce a lot of heat when you burned it. It was also kind of dirty, too, so it tended to produce a lot of pollution. So it wasn't as widely used, and typically most of our best coal came from Alberta.
How did homeowners get their coal?
Well, it would be delivered to them, usually initially by a train. They would bring a hopper car with coal to the town. And then in the bigger centers like Brandon and Winnipeg, there would be coal merchants. They would pick up the coal at the railway. They would deliver it door to door, basically. So if you needed coal, you just phone up the coal merchant and they would make you a delivery. So that's how you get it in the bigger centers.
What about in the smaller towns?
There usually wasn't enough demand to warrant there being an actual dedicated coal merchant. And that's why, for example, the grain elevator companies would often get involved. And so what they would do is they would have a little building beside their grain elevator, usually a sort of a low one-story building right next to the railway tracks. And that way, when they brought a box car with some coal, they could then transfer it into this building. It had doors all along the side facing onto the railway tracks where you could shovel the coal from the railway into the building. And then on the other side of the building, there's another set of doors where the consumers would come, either with their horse-drawn wagon or maybe they'd have a pail of some kind, and they'd get their pail of coal, and away they'd go home to use it in their heating their home.
Has the use of coal changed through the years?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The use of coal has plummeted through the mid-20th century in favor of a whole bunch of other fuels. And I think the reason for that is that coal has a lot of disadvantages. You know, for starters, it's not easily transportable. You know, if you think about electricity, of course, you can run wires around the place and flip a switch. For things like furnace oil or natural gas, likewise, they can run through pipes or big containers, as opposed to coal, which is a very hands-on product. You know, so for example, when you had it delivered, until they got into the mid-20th century, they had something called an auto stoker. But before that, you actually had to shovel the coal manually into your furnace to get your house heated up. And what that meant is that you could quite literally have to get up in the middle of the night to fuel your furnace because it wouldn't run automatically the way we expect it to do with fuel like gas or with oil. So that's a problem. Once coal is burning, because it's a solid fuel, you can't turn it on and off like you can electricity or natural gas. It basically burns until it's burned out. And so you really can't control it the way you can other fuels. And so a thermostat, which we take for granted today, where you just say, I want my house to be this temperature, and it'll turn the furnace on or turn it off as it needs to. Well, that really didn't work so well with a coal-fired furnace. Of course, coal produces ashes, and every so often you have to clean the furnace out. You know, we have natural gas today. You wouldn't think I'd ever have to clean my furnace out. It's a clean burning fuel. And then there's the mess. You know, coal dust is just black, and you get it all over yourself as you handle the coal. Well, I came across references that say that on the days they would get coal delivered, there would be dust in throughout the house. It would just be a mess for a few days afterwards. So it just was overall just not a pleasant fuel to use.
So what's the situation today?
Well, I found statistics from 2011, and according to Statistics Canada, here in Manitoba, about 61% of our homes get their heating from natural gas, 37% get it from electricity, and so together that makes up 98%. That's the vast majority. So that means that oil, wood, propane, and of course things like coal, 2% or less, you know, so vastly of the minority. Until recently, we did use a little bit of coal for heating, but indirectly. So in Brandon and in East Selkirk, Manitoba Hydro had a coal-burning power plant where they would generate electricity using coal. So I suppose indirectly, therefore, if you were heating your house with electricity, indirectly you were heating it with coal. But they were phased out. In fact, the Brandon one was finally shut off in 2018. And so today the situation is that as of January of 2014, the use of coal for home heating here in Manitoba is banned. You can't use it. In fact, there's a fine if you do use it. So pretty much gone. It's pretty much completely phased out as a result of the fact that, you know, we're concerned today about climate change. We're worried about the kind of things that are given off when coal burns, you know, the carbon dioxide and so on.
Are there any reminders of our former use of coal?
Oh, there's abandonment all over this theme, in fact. Well, the coal itself is an abandoned fuel. We don't use it anymore. At one time, it was probably the majority of homes. Today, basically none. So there's that. If you look at a lot of the older homes here in Winnipeg, for example, they will often have a coal chute on the side of the basement, you know, where they used to open the door, fire in this load of coal into the basement. Well, today, a lot of those houses still have those coal chutes. They've probably been mostly sealed off, but you can still see where they used to deliver the coal. But then we come back to the grain elevator and, of course, those little buildings that they used to have next to them to sell coal. Well, a lot of them were converted over to other things like selling fertilizer, for example. So there are at least four out there. A good friend of mine, Gene McManus, has made it a sort of a project to try to document how many of those coal buildings next to grain elevators are still around. And she's found four, one at Homefield, at Kane, at Tilston, and at Winnipegosis. And, you know, there may be more. We don't know. And so, in fact, if any of our listeners know of another coal building next to a grain elevator, love to hear about it, and they can give me a phone call.
Great. Thank you so much for this week's Abandoned Manitoba, Gordon. Appreciate it.
Oh, pleased to do it.
And next week's hint.
Well, we're going to look at buildings in southern Manitoba that were the ultimate expression of the phrase, take your work home with you.
Wait. Thanks, Gordon.
We'll see you next week.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.